Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. How are you today? I hope you are fine. With me, Rivai, and I'll accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President orders handling of armed criminal group problem in Papua. Minister Muluk receives International Health Award from APAO. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pali. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has ordered security authorities to deal with the issue concerning the armed criminal group in Papua province following the murders of three military officers by the group on Thursday. President Jokowi told the press on Friday, difficult terrain and the thick jungles of Papua have hampered efforts by the Indonesian military and police to deal with the group. Meanwhile, remains of three military officers killed in shootout with the armed criminal groups in Bugi, Nduga, Papua on March 7 were flown from Timika, Mimika to their hometowns in West Nusa Tenggara, Central Java, and South Sulawesi. In the shoot, 10 members of the criminal group led by Igianus Kogoya were killed and 5 firearms were seized by the Indonesian military. The 10 bodies of the criminals were taken away by their colleagues. The president said security agencies will continue to conduct law enforcement operations in the district as the armed criminal group attack not only civilians but also security personnel. As a result, construction projects in the district were disrupted. President Joko Widodo inaugurated Raden Intan II International Airport on Friday morning in Lampung Province. The inauguration was carried out at the same time with the inauguration of Silampari Airport in Lubuk Linggau District, South Sumatra. After the inauguration, the president said that he hoped that in the near future, Raden Intan II International Airport would be able to serve international flight routes. In addition, the president also highlighted the importance of building airport support facilities such as transportation routes to and from the airport. Jokowi hopes that the inauguration of the two airports can support economic development in the community.
Ya, yang pertama di Bandara Raden Intan.
Yes, first I have ordered Minister of Transportation. Maximum in 2 weeks, Raden Intan II Airport has to have international flights. The second is that transportation from the city to the airport by the airport train must also be prepared so that if the airport's capacity is enlarged, because the growth is very high here, the preparations for the airport train will also be possible later, while the terminal is expanded. Therefore, I have also ordered the Angkasa Pura II to make faster management so that the Ministry of Transportation can focus on other airports.
Sehingga Kementerian Perhubungan bisa anggarannya konsentrasi ke bandara-bandara yang lainnya.
Raden Intan II International Airport with a building area of 9,650 square meters is expected to accommodate passengers of approximately 3 million per year or 8,000 passengers per day. Within a day, Raden Intan II International Airport serves 34 times flight schedule. To start the international flight service, Raden Intan II International Airport will serve Bandar Lampung Singapore flights. Health Minister Nila Muluk received the Holmes Lecture Award 2019 from the Asia-Pacific Academy of Ophthalmology, APAO, for her contribution to global health development and supporting eye health care programs in the Asia-Pacific region. APAO President Charles N.G. Maggie stated in the Ministry of Health's press statement received in Jakarta on Thursday that Asia-Pacific Academy of Ophthalmology acknowledged the active role and contribution of Mulok, including members of the both Maternal, Newborn and Child Health WHO, members of the WHO Executive Board, and members of the Boot It Forum. In addition, Mulok was viewed as being successful in encouraging increased access to health services in remote areas and islands. She expressed hope that the performance of the Indonesian Health Minister would serve as inspiration for all APAO members in the Asia-Pacific region. On the occasion of the meeting with the APAO Board, Minister of Health Mulok expressed gratitude to the organization for the award bestowed in recognition of their dedication and performance so far. However, the Minister of Health stated that the award was not for herself, but for the public and government of Indonesia. Central Java is more confident after getting potential buyers at exhibitions abroad, so this year it will again showcase quality products of small and medium enterprises, SMEs, to Russia and Turkey. Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo in Semarang, Central Java, said on Friday that he chose to take part in an exhibition in Moscow, Russia on August the 1st and in Izmir, Turkey on September 6-15, 2019. According to Ganjar Pranowo, the Central Java provincial government actually received an invitation to participate in three international-level exhibitions in Russia, Turkey, and Spain. But because this year the budget was only for two activities, two of the three countries were chosen. Ganjar explained that his party chose to take part in an exhibition in Russia because the country concerned was very interested in small and medium enterprises products from Central Java. He claimed to have made correspondence to over SMEs products to be exhibited. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hundreds of athletes from various countries took part in the Southeast Asian International Championship 11th March 2019 Cup held at the Sritex Arena Solo Sports Hall on Friday. According to the head of the organizing committee, the 11th March Cup, Rizky Mika Saputra, the International Karate Championship was held by the Students Activity Unit of the Indonesian Karate Do Institute to commemorate the 43rd anniversary of 11 Maret University, Surakarta. Rizky Mika explained, the 11th March Cup International Student Karate Championship took place from Friday to Sunday. Rizky also said, the championship is a means of developing achievements and as a benchmark for assessing the development of karate techniques in the international arena, especially among students. The executive director of the Center for Maritime Studies for Humanity, Abdul Halim, stated that Indonesia need to follow the example of India's National Diving Committee tasked with managing salt commodities. Halim said on Thursday, a National Repatriation Commission should be formed as it was done in India. According to him, a special salt commission, responsible for carrying out data collection, will deal with accurate data problems, one of which is by working with the statistics agency. The commission was also responsible for fulfilling the basic rights of salt farmers, running a program of self-sufficiency in industrial salt and consumption, and evaluating the various programs mentioned. Regarding salt data, he proposed that the first audit should be carried out on the implementation of salt imports until the end of 2018, and the results should be presented to the public. Previously, the Ombudsman of the Republic of Indonesia stated that a systemic improvement related to import policy, which was a synergy between the ministries and institutions in the future, would reduce salt imports in 2019. Indonesia places seven settlers in the 2019 All England quarterfinals at Birmingham Arena on Friday. In the men's singles, Indonesia's Tommy Sugiarto faced Hong Kong badminton player Angus Ngong Kalong. Men's doubles Fajar Alfian and Muhammad Rian Ardianto become the eighth seed in this tournament. Besides Fajar Rian, Indonesia also places Muhammad Ahsan and Hendra Setiawan in the men's doubles quarterfinal. Indonesia also has two representatives in the women's doubles sector, besides Gracia Poli and Afriyani Rahayu. Niketut Mahadevi Istirani and Rizky Amelia Pradipta will also appear in the last eight. While in the mixed doubles sector, Indonesia still maintains two representatives, Pravin Jordan and Melati Deva Oktavianti, and also Tontowi Ahmad and Winnie Oktaviana Kandau. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is A Threat of New Sanctions for North Korea. One reason for the failure of the meeting in Hanoi, Vietnam at the end of last month between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un was about sanctions for North Korea. Leader Kim called for the United States to revoke all sanctions. Meanwhile, President Trump refused because he suspects there are still nuclear facilities that have not been closed. North Korea is surprised if the United States knows there are still facilities. North Korea made a statement in Hanoi after the meeting through Foreign Minister Lee Jong-ho, stating that North Korea is only asking for the revocation of some sanctions in return for the destruction of the main nuclear reactor, Yongbyon, and it will be witnessed by observers from the United States. It seems that the United States will not only report a sanction, but will also consider additional sanction for North Korea. The demand of the United States is that North Korea must destroy all its nuclear facilities if it wants to report sanctions. North Korea, until the meeting, had not all carried out the denuclearization program. Instead of ending, a report said that North Korea continues activities at the satellite launch site in Sohae. The report appears for analyzing images from satellites. In fact, the site was supposed to stop all its activities after summit with South Korea. South Korean Intelligence and U.S. Research Institute added that North Korea was suspected of redeveloping the Tongchang-ri missile launch site, which was planned to be destroyed during Kim and Trump's first meeting in Singapore last year. The situation that have already shown a positive direction seems to enter uncertain situation for both sides. Certainly, we are waiting for a conducive situation as a result of the meeting of the two leaders, but the expected result depends on both sides, whether North Korea still insists on continuing the nuclear program or President Donald Trump does not reduce sanctions for North Korea, even though North Korea has gradually stopped its nuclear program. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Today in History. We start from an event about Netherlands' surrender to Japan on March 8, 1942. After Dutch colonialism in Indonesia lasted for hundreds of years, on March 8, 1942, the Dutch then surrendered unconditionally to Japan, a week after Japanese troops landed in Java. The location of the Dutch surrender to Japan is currently becomes the house of history. It is located at Suryadharma Airport Complex, Kalijati, Subdistrict Subang Regency. Turning to the next historical event, Cipto Mangunkusumo, an Indonesian independence fighter, passed away on March 8, 1943. Dr. Cipto Mangunkusumo was an Indonesian independence fighter. Along with Ernest Dowes Dekker and Ki Hajar Dewantara, he was known as Tiga Serangkai or the Three Musketeers, who successfully disseminated their governmental idea and critical against the Dutch East Indies colonial government. In 1913, Cipto Mangunkusumo and the two colleges were exiled to the Netherlands due to writing and political activities, then back to Indonesia in 1917. Unlike Ernest Dowes Dekker and Ki Hajar Dewantara, who interested in the field of education, Cipto Mangunkusumo still run in politics by being Volkstraat member. Due to his radical manner, in 1927, he was then exiled by the Dutch colonial government to Banda. The tendency of Cipto Mangunkusumo to politic was broad until he died on March 8, 1943. We end today's edition of Today in History by reflecting on International Women's Day on March 8, 1978. The United Nations established International Women's Day on March 8, 1978. International Women's Day is a celebration of women's achievements globally and a call for gender equality. The celebration began around 1909 as National Women's Day in the United States by the Socialist Party to honor the strike of garment workers in New York in 1909. In 1910, the Socialist supporters met in Copenhagen and established Women's Day to honor the women's right movement and encourage support so that women could participate in the elections. That was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Demi kata jalin dengan indah untuk menguraikan maksud hati. Ku beranikan diri untuk memulainya, tapi mengapa bibirku tak dapat bergerak, terasa berat. Oh malunya hati ini bila ku ingat saat kami hanya saling berpandang dan terdiam terpaku. Oh bulan hanya dirimu yang mengertikan segalanya. Oh bulan tolonglah daku, katakan padanya ku cinta dia. Berlalu, kita saling terpaku diam, diam seribu bahasa, hilang semua kata yang terangkatkan. Oh malunya hati ini bila ku ingat saat itu kami hanya saling berpandang dan terdiam terpaku. Oh bulan hanya diri yang menyaksikan segalanya. Oh bulan tolonglah daku, katakan padanya ku cinta dia. Saat itu kami hanya saling berpandang dan terdiam terpaku. Oh, oh. Oh bulan hanya dirimu, oh, bulan menyaksikan segala. Katakan tolonglah daku, katakan padanya. Katakanlah, oh, hati ini, bila ku ingat saat itu
terpandang dan terdiam tepat lagi. Pulang hanya dirimu yang menyaksikan segalanya. Pulang tolonglah aku, katakan padanya ku cinta dia.
Well, well, listener, that was Sang, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. In Indonesia Today's edition, I'd like to give you information about Indonesia and, of course, in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on Indonesia-Jordan strengthens economic cooperation. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Jordanian Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi agreed to encourage efforts to strengthen economic cooperation between the two countries, among others by increasing interaction between entrepreneurs. The agreement was reached at the meeting of the two ministers in Amman, Jordan on Tuesday. In a written statement issued by the Foreign Ministry of Indonesia on Wednesday, the two foreign ministers discussed a number of issues, including trade, investment, and interactions between the two countries. Regarding the trade sector, the Indonesian foreign minister noted positive growth, with the trade value of the two countries in 2018 reaching almost $300 million, an increase of 2% compared to 2017. In the investment sector, it was also noted that Jordan's investments in Indonesia was more than 50%, with the investment value to reach $3.8 million in 2018. In addition to trade and investment, the two foreign ministers also discussed tourism. The number of Indonesian tourists visiting Jordan continued to increase to around 40,000 per year. To compensate, Indonesia continued to carry out promotion to attract Jordanian tourists to Indonesia. In addition to meeting with the Jordanian foreign minister, the Indonesian foreign minister opened an international training for trainers on business planning for women in refugees. Also, there was the signing of a letter of intent between Indonesia and Palestine regarding the provision of humanitarian assistance to Palestinians related to the procurement of desalination of water and medicines and medical equipment. This training is part of the Indonesian program to support the Palestinian people in their struggle to build the Palestinian nation. Foreign Minister Retno stressed that women have a crucial role in nation building. Furthermore, the foreign minister said that building a Palestinian nation is not easy because conducive conditions are needed, as well as international support both in the fields of economic development and capacity building. Therefore, Indonesia's support through the implementation of this training program is expected to further strengthen efforts to prepare Palestine for achieving its independence. Indonesia has long provided capacity support for Palestinians, such as, among others, in the development of micro, small, and medium enterprises, women's empowerment, good governance, microfinance, and environmental conservation, which will form an important foundation for the development of Palestinian institutions. The foreign minister specifically said that empowering Palestinian women would not only be economically profitable, but would also strengthen the Palestinian socio-economic infrastructure. That was My Indonesia Today on Indonesia-Jordan strengthened economic cooperation. From Voice of Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Seringkali kembali diriku. Seringkali ku sakiti kamu, ku mengerti. Kau butuh akan cintaku. Maafkan, maafkan aku. Lupakan dulu semua kenangan indah kita bersama. Sambil kau masih bersamanya, maafkan atas semua raguku. Ku tak mampu memberikan cinta abadi.
Well, listener, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, at website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder with me, Ahmad Faisal. For today's edition, I introduce you to Langsa Mangrove Forest. Listener, when traveling to Aceh, you must visit the tourism attraction in Langsa, Aceh. It is not beach, mountain, malls, water boom, tourism objects, but a mangrove forest area. The object is called Langsa Mangrove Forest and located in Langsa Barat Subdistrict, Langsa City. The distance is only 167 kilometers from Medan and 436 kilometers from Banda Aceh, the capital of Aceh province. The entrance ticket is only 3,000 rupiah per person, with parking fee of only 2,000 rupiah for motorbike and 5,000 rupiah for car. This tourism attraction is open every day from 8 a.m. up to 6 p.m. listener, the mangrove forest with an area of around 8,000 hectares has become a reference for international researchers because the Langsa mangrove forest is assumed as the mangrove forest with the most complete species. At least 38 types of mangroves are available here. Langsa Aceh mangrove forest also becomes a habitat for several local animals such as monkeys, snakes, lizard, fish, shrimps, and crabs. Listener, to trace the natural beauty of the mangrove forest, manager of the forest built wooden footpaths for the visitors. In the middle of the forest, there is the most fun spot for selfies, namely a wooden bridge with a natural mangrove background. The next favorite spot is the watchtower. This spot can be found in the middle of the trip along the Langsa Aceh mangrove forest. If you dare to climb the vertical stairs, you will be presented with a view of the mangrove forest from the height. As one of the popular ecotourism destinations, Langsa Aceh mangrove forest has sufficient facilities to spoil tourists. While in the outer part of the forest, there are various kinds of food stalls. So there is no need to worry. You can enjoy such delicious food at this mangrove forest. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition with the topic Langsa Mangrove Forest. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Bye!
Voice of Indonesia.
Terbangun dari tidurku dan merasakan
ingin kau kembali untukku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much, Voice listener. We have listened a wonderful song, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. A listener would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happened in Indonesia.
Hello listeners of Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Miscellany. Today, I will discuss about succeeding in the 2018 Asian Games. Indonesia wins OCA award. So stay with us on www.voinews.id. The success of the 2018 Jakarta Palembang Asian Games makes Indonesia be proud. The Olympic Council of Asia, OCA, also feels the positive impact. The success of the 2018 Asian Games confirms the prestige of the Asian Games itself as the second largest sporting event in the world after the Olympics. This was stated by President of OCA, Sheikh Ahmad Al-Falah Al-Sabah, when handing over the OCA award to Indonesia at the 72nd OCA Executive Board meeting in Bangkok, Thailand on March 2, 2019. The OCA award for Indonesia was accepted by General Chairman of the Indonesian Olympic Committee, Erick Thohir. According to Eric, this award is for Indonesia to have successfully held the best Asian Games and receive appreciation from all over the world. The success of the 2018 Asian Games is not only about the smooth implementation of holding 40 sports, which is the most in the history of the Asia Games so far. More importantly, the success is also due to extraordinary publications. With the presence of 864 news agencies or media from 44 Asian countries and 12 countries outside Asia. 40.5 billion readers enjoy news about the 2018 Asian Games. They receive information from around 16,000 articles published during the 2018 Asian Games. Erick Thohir explained, thanks to the massive publication, the Asian Games receive prize overseas. They were amazed because Indonesia was able to hold the sport events in a short preparation time. Thus, he is confident and optimistic that Indonesia deserves being the host of the upcoming 2032 Olympics. That was Miscellany for today with the topic succeeding in the 2018 Asian Games, Indonesia wins OCA award. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you.
Voice of Indonesia.
pintu hatiku yang pernah dibuka waktu hanya untukmu. Kini kau pergi dari hidupku. Ku harus relakanmu walau aku tak mau. Berjuta warna pelangi di dalam hati, sejenak luluh bergaming menjauh pergi. Tak ada lagi cahaya suci, semua nada beranjak, aku terdiam sepi.
Menerima terlalu dalam sanggup lagi bertahan. Cinta aku menyerah. Tak mungkin lagi kita teruskan. Bila akhirnya kau tak setia. Meski mencoba untuk bertahan, aku semakin terluka. Sebenarnya ku tak ingin berpisah, namun hati tak bisa menerima. Terlalu kau lukai hatiku, tak sanggup lagi bertahan. Cinta aku menyerah. Terus dan terus melukaiku, menduakan. Sebenarnya ku tak ingin berpisah, namun hati tak bisa menerima. Terlalu dalam kau lukai hatiku, tak sanggup lagi bertahan. Tak sanggup
of Indonesia.
Wonderful song. And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, next segment, I'd like to give you information about the music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
In today's edition, we will present a Malayan song entitled Kembang Malate. Kembang Malate song is actually the typical song of Madura people, East Java. In Madura language, Kembang Malate means jasmine flower. The song was composed by Muit Kowe, which tells about the beauty of jasmine flower. In its lyric, jasmine flower is that one which makes anybody be interested in it. In addition, the flower is described as fragrance with fresh and natural perfume. In its lyric, it is also taught that there are a lot of beautiful flowers, but there is no as beautiful as jasmine. Listeners, here is Kembang Malate sung by Sinta Aldinata. Enjoy the song.
Listener, we end our Together Death in English Language program broadcasting. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. And Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, or our Instagram account, voice_of_Indonesia. And you can visit our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, or to our email, voi@voinews.id.